Hello.
Hello.
Would you like to give me a volume test? That was volume, yes.
Let me cough really quick.
Well tested. Thank you.
There's another volume test. Cool. Anyway.
Hello. How are you today?
Doing good.
Yeah?
How's your caffeine treating you?
It's treating me. It is certainly treating me.
Yep. Cool.
There you go.
Anyway, would you like to do our intro now?
Yeah.
Cool.
Hello, and welcome to Chronically Olympus, the podcast in which my co-host and I discuss the Percy Jackson and the Olympian series chapter by chapter. And today, we are discussing chapter 11
Bankruptcy?
Of...
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
You've had chapter 7 to make that joke. You've had chapter 11. You've had chapter 7 at least 6 times to make that joke. 7 times.
I was so ready today.
8 times, I believe, to make that joke.
Uh-huh.
You've had chapter 11 at least as many. Is it because we've been watching the bankruptcy show?
I don't know.
Okay.
Today just felt appropriate for that joke.
I'm here for it.
Cool.
I'm here for it. Today we are discussing a chapter of The Sea of Monsters. This chapter is called Clarice Blows Up Everything.
Did you not have a character for this
no,
one?
No, I didn't have a character in mind. I didn't even think of one. Normally, I think of them on the fly, honestly. And today, they're just not arriving. I am just some sheep on a hill with some magic wool. Also known as Kristen. And this is my co-host.
I'm a dead Confederate.
Were you a dead Confederate, like, last time?
No, I was the guy working in the
Donut shop.
Yeah.
Yes.
Got it. Very different.
Yes.
I'm just a general general dead Confederate.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with a dead Confederate general. But I'll... But I'm also known as Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Cool.
Anyway, thought we'd knock one of these out before we go on a road trip.
Yeah, let's get a show up since we haven't done one in a while.
It's been a minute. We are going on a trip soon, which is very exciting.
Very exciting.
We're going to go see the big sky thing.
Yeah, whatever that sky thing is that's happening in like a week or something.
Yeah.
A week or two.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're gonna go watch that like 3-minute activity in the sky. But you know, we're gonna have to road trip for 3 days to make it.
Yeah,
we're gonna be in a car for like 40 hours plus round trip, and just so that we can watch a 3-minute thing happen in the sky.
Yep, this is why we don't see eclipses more often. It's like there's like I think it's like once a year there's one visible somewhere in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like most of the time they're much more inconvenient than this.
Yeah.
So
there is a county somewhere in the Midwest that this is going to overlap a previous path of totality in a recent eclipse.
Whoa.
And I was watching a video being like, oh, what's happening there?
I mean, if it gets to 3, then we know something's
really going on.
Yeah.
Twice is a coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
3 times is a pattern.
True.
As the saying goes.
How do we start this podcast, Kristen?
Well, we do our introductions, we banter briefly, and then we do our summaries. So as Chris and I are reading through the chapter, each of us writes a bullet point summary of what's happening in the chapter to, shall we say, summarize the chapter. And then we read them for your benefit, dear listener, in case you didn't just sit down and read the chapter and, you know, follow along with us as in your... one chapter a month reading patterns.
Yep.
So for a refresher, we've got some bullet points. Would you like to do yours first?
Sure, I'll go ahead and do mine first. So here are mine. Rick's done his ship research. Sea power. Still, no one likes Clarice. Tell us more about sheep board games. What? I don't see how Grover is an appealing wife. There's the book title. Love a good sea battle. Who makes braces for the sea monsters?
Hephaestus.
What a series of unfortunate events. And Tyson is for sure 100% not dead.
Yeah. No. All right. We're cool. Not doing that book series next.
I mean, it's another one.
It is another one. It's another one I've never read.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I've read like the first three. I think there's like seven or eight of them, but I've read three of them for sure.
Yeah. I thought there was like nine, but.
Yeah, maybe.
Anyway. Here's my summary. Cool. My turn. Mm-hmm. Look, Ares has losers help his daughter. Clarice refuses help from anybody but the losers. Did the Oracle tell her she'd fail? Be our guest. Percy eavesdrops on Grover and Polyphemus, then on Clarice and Ares. Grover tries to give them intel. Time to enter the titular sea through the monsters. Tyson tries to save the ship. And Percy might have been saved by Skyla. Use the wind, Annabeth. So that's mine.
Cool. All right. Let's jump in. This is a pretty dense chapter. I think there's actually a, like, as opposed to the last few, there's actually quite a bit to talk about here.
I see.
So we get a ship tour. We open up with a ship tour.
Yes.
On this Ironside from the dead Confederates.
Yep. Let's just list every gun on the ship.
We're listing every gun. That's why I put down Papa Rick's done his ship research because
done his gun research, not his ship research. Well, more so then.
So Reardon's into old timey cannons.
Apparently.
Maybe. As all men of a certain age are.
What modifications need to be made to a cannon that it can shoot celestial bronze? Because I feel like that's a modification that needs to be made to the cannonballs.
Yeah.
That there shouldn't be any modifications needed for the cannon itself.
I'm no gun expert, so I'm not sure.
I mean, I would assume that, like, celestial bronze doesn't have a lower melting point and needs some kind of, like, lower heat explosive for it. Like,
maybe it's heavier than your traditional cannonball. Like, I don't.
Maybe.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe it's lighter. Like, it's probably different weight.
Whatever.
Anywho. So, we go through the ship. We head to the captain's cabin, where Clarice is posted up, and we have a feast of peanut butter jelly sandwiches, potato chips, and Dr. Pepper.
Yes, we've switched away from Coke.
Well, Clarice is a Dr. Pepper fan, Percy's a Coke fan. This is like, now, they both are Coke products.
Yeah.
So it's not like...
See, but Dr. Pepper is one of those ones that's produced both, like, in many plants. Like,
yeah.
You can have a Pepsi contract and also serve Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
And you can have a Coke contract and serve Dr. Pepper.
Yeah. Do we think that's foreshadowing that, like, you know, while Clarice is, like, different, she's basically on the same team at the end of the day as Percy?
I think so. Like, I mean, she's not drinking diet.
She's not drinking Pepsi.
She's not drinking Pepsi. She's not drinking diet. And she's not drinking a clear soda.
Or, like, an RC Cola.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, if she cracked open an RC Cola, she's one of the bad guys for sure.
Yeah. So, there you go. We enjoy that.
And as much as I like Mr. Pibb, but if she cracked into a Mr. Pibb, I think she would also be a bad guy. But I think because it's Dr. Pepper, at the end of the day, we're going to have the redemption arc that we both keep predicting for Clarice.
Probably. Not in this chapter, for sure. Hmm. She,
Oh, yeah, yeah, no.
Yeah. Though we do get a lot more background on Clarice in this chapter, a little bit. So we have the...
A lot more or a little bit?
A little. A lot of a little.
A lot of a little.
You know.
We get teased with a denser backstory for her.
Also, I didn't know if this was going to make it into the final cut of the podcast, but I was going to point out this line of, like, they talk about the Confederates and how they react to our crew, And they approved of Annabeth because she told them she was from Virginia. And I was just like, they wouldn't approve of show Annabeth.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
That was almost a bullet point, and then I was just like, ah, no. I'm not going to put that one down.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yep.
So, but also Percy is a dirty Yankee, so, you know.
Yeah, they liked him at first when they heard his name was Jackson.
No.
But then he opened his mouth and told them where he was from.
Friggin' New Yorkers. Anyway. Yeah, that's my impression of a Confederate. It's gonna be a long podcast.
It's gonna be a time.
Anyway, so we talk about kind of the lowdown of like why she's got the ship, what's happened at camp after they left. We find out that
losers in wars owe a tribute to Ares.
Yep.
So I guess my question is, how do you have like this kind of undead crew of a ship? Does he have the right to like pull them out of Hades because of their debt, or are they not able to enter Hades because of their debt?
Well, that's a question I was going to ask, because as when we were in Hades in the last book, Hades is like palace or whatever is staffed by dead soldiers,
yeah,
of various eras. So are those also losers? Are those winners that get to like serve as Hades honor guard, and like the losers have to like serve Ares? Like, what, how does this break down?
I don't know. Tell us more about the war, Rick. We don't understand.
Yeah, do they have a deal?
These are the questions that the podcasters need to know before you publish.
Yep. Should have thought about this 20 years ago when you published this book.
Yeah, dude. What is this?
So anyway, we talk about what happened at camp after they left, how they are now banned for eternity, and Mr. D has threatened to turn them into squirrels and run them over should they ever come back.
With his SUV.
Yep. Which apparently, Mr. D drives an SUV.
It checks out, but also, like, shouldn't he drive, like, a sports car or something?
Maybe. I mean,
he's either in, like, the tricked-out Escalade in, like, that burnt copper color.
Yeah.
Or he's, like, doing his little Porsche or something.
Yeah, it does seem that way.
Yeah.
We also talk about how Clarice is alone because...
Maybe he has both, and it's just the SUV that he would use to run over a squirrel. Because it would be a little messier to run over a squirrel in the sports car.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, Dionysus is 100%. The character in these books that I can picture being like, oh, there's a squirrel, I'm gonna hit it.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, which I don't like, because, like, he has all of the satyrs that, like, serve him, and they tend to nature.
Yeah.
And it's like...
Don't tell Grover.
Why is it okay that this is the character trait that I pick up from this guy? That he is the guy who would go out of his way to run over a squirrel? Anyway.
Anyway, so she's alone because she wanted to leave her crew back at camp to defend it. Also, you know, they just wouldn't help her. Apparently, even among her own cabin, Clarice isn't popular, which I thought was weird because when Tantalus gave her the quest, everybody cheered about it.
Yeah.
Like, everybody was just like, yeah, go Clarice, and yet nobody wants to go with her.
Yeah, so. I don't know. I think... There was some amount of hype because it was, you know, there was a victory and the birds and all of that.
Yeah.
Like, attacking and everything. So, I feel like there's something there, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know.
She also mentions a something. The Oracle gave her a prophecy. We don't know what that is. But
regardless of what the Oracle said, I will do this.
Yeah. Which...
And you won't take my credit.
Kind of big foreshadowing that she's going to fail there.
Yeah. It's almost like there's an oracle.
Weird. So then Percy goes off after this meeting, has a dream, another dream about Grover and the Cyclops. And
yeah, I mean, Clarice says, you cannot help me. I won't let you help me, but I also can't let you go.
Yes. So they're totally not prisoners.
They're just guests.
So we have another dream about Grover, and we... get a lot more detail on this island that he's on.
Yep.
This idyllic island.
Well, he finally gets to go outside.
He does get to go outside.
Or at least see outside.
I mean, we also see the Cyclops' cavern that's decorated with sheep paraphernalia.
Yes.
Polyphemus really into sheep. That's why I said, tell us more about sheep board games, because that's listed as a thing that's in there.
Ah, I see. I don't remember seeing the board game specifically. But you see, like, you're really into eating cake. And we don't decorate the house with cake-themed things. Like,
look, don't make me sound that fat. Come up with another interest that I have. It's like whenever you're gonna share an interest of mine.
Well, this is what he eats. He eats sheep. He loves to eat sheep. Like, is that his only hobby?
Maybe. Like, okay, you're going with the eating angle. Got it. Okay.
Yeah, it's the eating angle. Like, this is his food, and this is also the only interest he has. Like, I have interests that are, like, pretty overriding and get into our decorations and stuff, like Star Wars. Uh-huh. Like, we have at least one Star Wars item in every room of the house.
Or cuttlefish.
There are cuttlefish in almost every room of the house. Uh-huh. There's just, that one hasn't been framed yet to go in this room, and then there will be a cuttlefish in every room of the house.
Yep.
Books. I have books in every room of the house. Except the bathroom, because I think that's weird.
Yeah.
You don't
like the people that have, like, the stack of books on the back of the toilet for bathroom reading times?
You know, I don't. I really don't.
Or the magazine rack. You used to see the magazine rack a lot in old people's houses with, like, newspapers and stuff in there. Yeah.
No. I lived in that house.
Uh-huh.
No. Don't like. Anyway. Just rather watch some TikToks on my phone.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's very much gone out of style since phones became a thing.
Yeah. Anyway. I don't eat things related to these things.
Yeah.
In fact, I actively avoid eating things related to cuttlefish, in general.
Yeah.
But what is that I... Anyway, that's all.
So...
He's just this one-dimensional character. But you know, of course, he's the enemy. He's the bad guy. He's a monster. He's supposed to be a one-dimensional character, you know.
You know, but he lives on an island that looks like a saddle cut in half by an axe.
Which I still don't understand! What does that mean? Horizontally? Vertically? Like, did we just cut the stirrups off? Like, what direction can you cut a saddle? I mean,
it also describes it. It says there are lush green hills on either side and a wide valley in the middle, so it's like a U shape.
Uh-huh.
Like, yeah.
See, but I was reading this as the description of, like, the bay area. Like, uh-huh. The coastline.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, what is that? That's a quarter of a circle?
Something.
So he's describing it as, like, vertically a saddle. That's cut in half with an axe because that's the crevice, the big hole that the bridge goes across.
Something like that. Anyway, it's idyllic. There's like
maybe
flowers everywhere, rainbow colored waterfalls, parrots flying about.
I bet you could get some really good quality ISIS or ISIS? No, the messaging system.
Oh yes,
that's
Iris.
Iris.
Yeah. Not some good quality ISIS. That's a different thing. Sorry.
No. That's the Egyptian version of the books in that lore. Iris messaging. You could get some really good quality Iris messaging service there.
You could. There's also many, many sheep that have copper and silver wool glittering all over the countryside. And there's the fleece. We see it. It's there. It's hanging on an oak tree, and that's probably why this island is so paradisical.
That's what the lore of the fleece is.
Yeah. And so Polyphemus has this idea that, you know, this has taken so long because, like, Grover's just terrible at weaving, and, like, the train keeps unraveling.
Yeah, Grover basically gets snuck up on and caught undoing the train.
Yeah. And so
Polyphemus is like, wifey is a bad sewer.
Yep.
Let me give you some magic wool that can't be undone.
Yep. So, obviously, Grover here is, like, you know, not skilled in weaving or sewing or anything. Is very hesitant, like, takes too long to get stuff done. Been wearing a veil this entire time, obviously, so Polyphemus has, like, never actually seen him. So, like, what are qualities that, like, Polyphemus is so in love with about Grover? Like, what is is the appeal?
That she exists as a female cyclops in his mind, and that she smells good.
Yeah.
That's that Polyphemus has fallen in love with the smell of a lady because she's a lady.
Yep. Totally.
Yep.
Anyway, I'm sure you've met men like that.
Yep.
So picks up a sheep, gives Grover some enchanted magic glittery wool, and was just like, yep, this can't unravel. Go ahead. You got 24 hours.
Yep.
So finish it by tomorrow. So now we have a less than a day time frame.
Yep.
To get Grover off the island here.
But we're in the Sea of Monsters now.
And then...
maybe, sort of. We don't know.
Yeah. Grover, as you said, is trying to give Percy some intel and being like, all right, hey, look around. What defenses are on the island?
How can you protect me as your lady?
Yeah. Polyphemus talks about the state-of-the-art security system of the pets that they'd have to go through, which
we still don't have more information, but looks like it's just the sheep.
It looks like the sheep, especially since if we, just check out the list of chapters in the front of the book, there's a chapter a bit later on that says we meet the sheep of doom. Okay. It's chapter 14, so I'm going to assume it's the sheep.
Okay.
That are more than they seem. And then obviously they have to go through Polyphemus himself, who is a giant, super strong monster. And then the dream ends, and we have a time frame to get there. And then Percy wakes up to alarm bells.
Yes.
There's stuff going on.
And the Confederates can't find Clarice.
Yeah.
They're looking for that girl.
Yeah. So we are in the entrance to the Sea of Monsters.
Yes.
Roll credits.
And Percy has this really sneaking suspicion that this is going to be his last night on the ship. So he packs all of his stuff and wears his a knapsack that he stole from one of these dead Confederates.
Yeah. Really, really solid foresight there.
Yeah.
So we go upstairs and we...
No, we don't. He starts to go upstairs and then turns around because he feels that anger building in him that he's only ever felt one time when he was staring Ares in the face.
Yep.
So he turns around and wanders back down until he overhears Clarice talking to Ares in the steam of the steam engine. So even through an Iris message.
Yeah.
Somewhere on the ship happening, Ares can still affect Percy's mood.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
It's a very powerful aura.
Yeah.
Aura. Very powerful aura.
Aura.
But anyways, he overhears this snippet of conversation between Ares and Clarice, where Ares is just calling her worthless and, you know, how she's going to fail this quest and she better not because he's going to, like, kill her or something. I don't know.
It's very abusive. Vaguely,
yeah,
it's very implied, heavily abusive.
Yeah. This is a thing they're going to completely cut out of the season 2 on Disney Plus.
They are. they're absolutely, like...
This is gonna be a scene where Ares just like reaches through the message and like puts a hand on her shoulder and is just like, "Don't worry, you're doing a great job."
Yeah, that's what's gonna happen. I chose you specifically for this mission.
Yeah,
because I knew Percy wouldn't help you because he doesn't like you.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Apparently, he's also weirdly sexist.
I should have chosen one of my sons.
Yeah,
you asked me for this quest. Which is interesting because then I want to know what influence Ares has over Tantalus. Because Tantalus is the one who awarded her the quest.
Yeah.
That she, quote unquote, asked for from Ares.
Yeah. I mean, is this all like a roundabout way of Ares getting revenge on Percy for showing him up?
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. He's still a little peeved about that.
Yeah.
So anyway, he threatens... Clarice a lot. Clarice is obviously terrified of him, as, you know, he's a god of war. He probably should be. Backs away, finds Annabeth, and we see the problem. So we're going into the Sea of Monsters, and we had, in order to do that...
see the problem.
In order to enter
I see what you did there.
In order to enter into the Sea of Monsters, they have to go between these two monsters.
Wait.
Weird, I know. Yeah.
I was told that there would be monsters in the sea. Why don't we go the other way that Jason went? I can't blow up rocks.
Yeah, obviously not. Rocks, just too strong.
Yeah. No, that's Clarice's argument is that she has guns and can blow things up. Therefore, she has to go the way that she can blow stuff up.
Obviously.
Which... That's like, I have this tool, therefore I have to use this tool.
Yeah.
Even though there's a better way to do something.
Well, I mean, there's the saying that goes, if all you have is a hammer, every problem starts to look like a nail.
Yes.
So, she's got guns.
But, but also every tool's a hammer, if you use it right.
Sure.
Every tool can be a hammer.
Yeah, I feel like there's some that would be too light.
You can like, hit stuff with things.
Yeah.
It might not be a great hammer. My little tiny eyeglass screwdriver isn't a great hammer. Yeah.
Anyway, so we see on one side of this passageway that we have giant cliffs, foreboding 100-foot tall cliffs. Then on the other side, we have this raging, like, storm, hurricane-type thing. And this is the passageway between Charybdis and Scylla. Scylla? Did we figure out how to pronounce Scylla? So these two legendary monsters that you have to go past to get into the sea full of other monsters. It just seems like a bad plan.
Yeah.
But Charybdis is sucking in lots of ocean and spitting it out again all the time. And then Scylla is...
I really liked the description on Google when I... when I looked up what is Charybdis, and the first sentence was, is a monster whirlpool. Like, yeah. It's a sea monster that, like, is also a whirlpool.
Yeah.
And all of the artwork is what I would, like, imagine, the Star Wars sandworm.
Yep. The Sarlacc.
The Sarlacc. Mm-hmm. What the Sarlacc would look like, under the sand.
Yeah.
Like, all of the artwork seems like that's what, like, Sarlacc and, like, you know.
Yeah. But imagine braces.
Yes. But with braces.
Apparently. So on one side, we have the monster that's going to come down from the cliffs and, like, abduct people from the deck of the ship, or possibly the ship itself. And the other side, we have the enormous deadly whirlpool.
Yeah.
So both seem kind of terrible, but Clarice seems to believe that she's going to have more luck with the cannons against Charybdis.
Yep, let's blow up the whirlpool.
Yeah. So they are going straight forward, and they see this just...
And Percy tries to calm the ocean as these whirlpools breathe in and breathe out and the surge back and forth.
Yeah.
And he's not sure if it's just that he can't focus hard enough or if he just can't control the water here, but he's struggling.
I mean, he's just really come into his powers, like, a year and a half ago. Like, he's probably going to be a while before he can control, like, a half-mile-wide ocean whirlpool.
Yeah.
That's a bit beyond his skills right now. But also, there's problems with the engine.
Yeah, which we got early on in the chapter that Tyson says something about that.
Yeah.
These engines weren't built for deep water.
Yeah. And I know very little about boats, and I know less about, like, steamships. But I didn't think that made any sense. Like, this engine's not built for deep water. Like, it has, like, a propeller. Why would it matter how deep the water was?
I don't know.
Because, like, the whole action that's propelling the ship forward happens in, like, the first, like, 5-6 feet, however much of the ship is under the water. So why would it matter if it was deeper?
I think that it has a lot more to do with ocean currents that it's fighting against.
Uh-huh.
And wave size that it's fighting against.
Yeah.
There's a part of my brain that's like, well, I can see, like, a riverboat, a paddle boat, not working in the ocean.
Yeah. Because they're designed for, like, flat water and not waves.
Yeah. Yeah. But this is meant to be an ocean-going vessel.
Yes.
Just not deep ocean? I don't know. I thought similarly.
Yeah. So
yeah, Papa Rick did your research.
I'm sure he knows what he's talking about.
And so I'm definitely going to say, like, he's probably right. I don't know.
Yeah.
Why? Is it... Why'd you have to bring this up now? Oh, my goodness. I was comfortable ignoring this.
Yeah.
Reading the chapter, and now I'm not.
Yeah. Well, this isn't a boat podcast, so we can move on. But anyway, there's problems with the engines. There's not enough...
This is a hydrodynamics podcast, though.
Yep.
About the sea of monsters.
Yep. There's just not enough power. They're giving it all she's got, Captain. And Tyson is in the back
room. Is that a reference to something? Or is that just some weird thing you say?
Yep. Tyson is in the background giving various tubes observations about what's going on with the engines because, like, he just knows these things.
Yep.
He's got the sense for all things mechanical.
Just like Percy has the sense of where they are in the ocean.
Yeah. And Clarice is yelling at him to get down there and fix the engines, but, like, obviously it's overheating. They're getting vaporized down there, and Tyson's just like, I'll do it. I'm immune to fire. I'm gonna go down in the engine room. So, Deus Ex Tyson. Happens again.
I mean, is it really a deus ex if the ship blows up?
I guess not. But,
also, does it really matter if we call out every deus ex in a book about the gods?
I guess that is a thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So he goes down and Tyson says, I'll fix it, be right back. Last words Tyson will ever say. Because he dies in this chapter. Certain. He's never coming back.
100%. Gone.
Yeah.
I'm good. Dead.
Yeah. What a crazy twist that would be, though. It's like, we're convinced that he's not dead. What if he actually is? Like, what if he does die in this chapter and we just introduced him for, like, you know, him to just disappear halfway through this book?
No. No.
What an actual twist that would be.
No.
So, anyway, I'm...
Don't like. No. If he's actually dead, I might stop reading this book.
Well, I'm convinced he's not, but we'll obviously find out.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, then we see Charybdis, this giant maw in the middle of the ocean with, like, huge teeth the size of rowboats and braces.
Yep.
Made out of old rusted metal with pieces of driftwood and floating debris stuck between them.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Why does this monster have braces? Who made them? Who fitted them in the first place? These are all questions that we have.
Yep.
That we have no answers to.
Along with why the ship struggles in deep water.
Yeah. And then we start shooting at it with the celestial bronze. Doesn't seem to do anything. One of the cannonballs chips a tooth, but other than that...
Yeah, and one of them hits the bands on the braces and just bounces back.
Yep.
I think that it might be armor and not braces.
Maybe. Could be.
This is how you apply armor to big teeth.
I also don't know why an enormous sea monster would need armor, but that's just me.
Obviously, things are shooting at it. You have no sympathy for the monsters in this book, Chris. Like, come on.
Anyway, so the suction stops happening, the whirlpool stops, sea gets calm, and then just after that, whoosh, all the water comes back out. Charybdis is spitting out everything that's not edible, including the cannonballs.
Yep.
They have a 40-foot wave that just washes them backward, and Percy's using all of his will to try and keep the ship from capsizing.
Yeah.
Which mostly succeeds. But...
The ship is cracked.
The ship is cracked. The engine's about to blow. And then Skyla starts attacking.
Yes, because they've got thrown into Skyla's reach now.
Yep, and the captain of the ship, undead captain, gets abducted right off the face of the off the deck.
That's the reveal.
Yep.
That Skyla's near.
Yep. And then there are trying to get to the lifeboats.
Get below deck. No, it's too hot. We'll vaporize.
Yeah, people are vanishing left and right. Percy gets caught.
Yep.
Skyla grabs him by the backpack.
Not before he gives the wind to Annabeth, though. Mm-hmm. Because he gives her the win and says, get in the lifeboat, get them ready, I gotta go get Tyson.
Yeah.
I have to get Tyson. And so as he's trying to run down the stairs, he gets yoinked up by his backpack.
Yep. Takes the sword out and jabs it.
Into an eye?
Into an eye, I guess. So, like,
so what I saw artwork-wise is that this is, like, some body torso of, like, a woman.
Uh-huh.
With, like, the tail of, like, a snake-type creature.
Okay.
And then some, like, snaky, like, heads coming out of her back.
Okay.
That have, like, their own eyes.
Okay. And
That look like, vaguely hydra-ish.
Yeah. Apparently very, very large snakes.
Yeah.
Here, like, they're...
Well, they're more like dog heads in this artwork.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they're more like dragon heads in this artwork. So if you look at some of these images here,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to hand this to you.
Yeah.
The one that looks like it's like from ancient Greek pottery has like them coming out of her sides.
Yes.
And more like jackalish or dogish.
Yeah.
But yeah. That's some of the artwork that I found when I was looking at Charybdis and Scylla.
Yeah. Cool. All right.
The artwork that I found of Charybdis, though, is, like, very Lovecraftian adjacent.
Yeah.
I was like, you might enjoy some of this artwork.
So anyway, he jabs the monster in one of its eyes. He gets dropped. And boom. Ship explodes. And as far as we know, Tyson's still on board. Some of the lifeboats have managed to get away.
Well, and Percy was falling back down from being dropped.
Yeah.
And then the boom blows him back away.
Yeah.
And then the wind gets opened
yeah.
a little too far.
Just slightly.
And he gets thrown.
Yeah.
So Percy just kind of has this, like, whipping through the air situation.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably enough time for Zeus to, like, lightning him or something, you know? Because he's in his domain now.
Yeah, kick him while he's down.
Yep.
So he gets thrown through the air. He sees lifeboats getting, like, the flaming debris of the ship rain down on them. He gets hit on the head by something and hits the water.
He gets clonked.
Yes. You like that word?
I've always said conked. Mm-hmm. Like, you get conked in the head, or you get bonked in the head, or you get clocked in the head. Clonked is like this weird combination of getting clocked and conked.
Uh-huh.
That I was like, that's not a word.
Why does English have so many words for getting hit by something?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Why does any language have so many words for anything?
It's like the Inuits have 30 words for snow, and like English has 30 words for getting hit in the head with something. What does that say about our society?
KO'd.
Decked.
Decked.
Anyway. And then he hits the water. He's sinking, passes out. And the last thing he remembers is Tyson being gone forever.
And wishing he could drown.
Yeah.
Darn.
Sucks that he can't.
Sea god.
Yeah. Terrible. So that ends like on a heck of a, pardon my pun, cliffhanger.
if he can will himself to be wet.
Uh-huh.
He could will himself to drown.
Yep. Probably.
I feel like.
That's kind of a dark exploration of his powers that we're not going to get into.
But I do feel like as soon as he loses consciousness, his divine nature would kick in and heal him in the water.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe. Okay.
So, he's probably fine, but Tyson probably not fine. We don't know.
Yeah,
he was in the ship, like, when it blew up.
He's fire resistant. He can handle, like, lava.
Oh. But the force of explosions, different thing entirely.
Yeah, it threw him, though, like...
Yeah. Which he's going to end up saving the day somewhere, somehow, but...
Yeah.
Who knows?
Definitely.
Cool. So that's the chapter.
There it is.
Is there anything that we missed or need to explore further?
There is one brief moment towards the end when they're trying to get to the lifeboats and such that Annabeth gives an order that Clarice follows. And it's pointed out specifically that, like, Clarice followed that order.
Fascinating.
And I think that that was an interesting moment where it's just like, I think that Clarice doesn't have much beef with Annabeth. Like, that she actually does have some respect for Annabeth, even though she, like, genuinely doesn't like Annabeth.
Yeah.
Anyway.
True. Do we have confirmation that Clarice got away? Like, I feel like that's ambiguous,
Clarice
too.
Was on the boat with Annabeth.
Okay.
You want me to confirm that?
Mm-hmm. Well, also, because I read ahead slightly,
you did not read ahead. We have the lifeboats had managed to get away from the ship, so he did see that, but not very far. Wreckage was raining down. Clarice and Annabeth would either be smashed or burned or pulled to the bottom by the force of the sinking hull. And that was thinking optimistically, assuming they got away from Skyla. I heard different boom, boom, clonked in the head. Opened a little too far. White sheets of wind. Yeah,
so we have no confirmation that Clarice got away either. I'm going to assume she's not dead.
Didn't read ahead. No. Why'd you read ahead?
Well, she's not in the next chapter anyway, so.
You.
I was bored. I was waiting for you to finish Pokemoning.
You had other options.
Yeah. Anyway, I could have gone and got some cake because that's all I do.
Yes, there was cake at that coffee shop. Could have gotten cake.
Cool. So that's the chapter. A lot of stuff happens there. So.
Yep.
Want to keep reading, find out what happens next, but, you know, that'll be after we get back from our trip.
Probably.
So we move on to our next segment.
Absolutely.
All right.
What's your favorite sentence?
Would you like me to go first on that one?
Yeah, because I didn't choose one.
Okay. God, you're so unprepared for this podcast. So my favorite sentence is, I wanted to punch a dead Confederate.
I like that one a lot, too. Uh-huh.
There's a lot of great sentences in this chapter, but that one just seemed short and sweet to the point.
Yeah. I don't know. I had several favorites, and I think we've kind of said all of them already so far. Like, I really enjoyed the description of the island being a saddle cut in half because it confused me so much. The room's description with the wool-covered lazy boy and TV and, you know, piles of sheep bones and bones that didn't look quite like sheep bones, probably satyr bones. So, I don't know. I think we touched on all of them. Also, why does Percy know what sheep bones look like? But I'll read this one. We briefly touched on it in the discussion because it has the Dr. Pepper. Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, potato chips, and Dr. Peppers were served by skeletal crewmen. So.
As you do.
Yes. I thought they were ghosty. I thought they were zombies. Now this one's skeletal. Also, inconsistency. Also, reading this, having peanut butter and jelly spelled out completely, my brain was like, ew, peanut butter and jelly?
What a weird combination that would be.
It broke my brain for a minute, where I was just like, oh no, that's a PB&J. Yeah. Okay.
That is it's a classic American sandwich.
Yes, it also is low-key gross. Like, I don't know.
You don't like a PB&J?
I didn't grow up eating PB&J. I grew up eating peanut butter sandwiches only. And
why
did
your family
like,
not have jelly?
We had jelly. I just ate jelly on toast with butter.
Okay.
So I would do toast with butter and jelly,
mm-hmm.
or I would do a peanut butter sandwich.
Yeah.
Peanut butter on both slices.
Not even like a peanut butter banana or honey or anything like that?
No, I didn't even start doing peanut butter and honey until I was in college. Like, that was my go-to, my jam there.
Yeah.
And my college roommate would do peanut butter and marshmallow fluff, and I thought that that was, like, just conceptually brilliant, but sounded disgusting at the same time.
They call them fluffer nutters,
yes,
which is
that
the,
is what she would call them.
Also the worst name for a food ever.
Yeah. It is. It really is. Anyway. Yes, Kristen Lohr. Kristen did not grow up eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I have enjoyed every peanut butter jelly sandwich I've had for the most part.
Yeah.
I just have only had like six of them in my life.
Yeah.
In my near 35 years of life, Yeah, I've only had like six.
Oh. I enjoy them with strawberry jelly or strawberry jam, like more so than the traditional grape. I think strawberry and peanut butter, killer combo. Anyway, so should we move on to our rewrites?
Sure.
Okay.
Let's do it!
Do we need to enter this segment, or are we assuming our listeners are familiar?
We rewrite the chapter from a different perspective.
We move the camera, so to speak. Anyway, I would like you to do yours first, because I'll need audience participation. Well, not audience. I'll need co-host participation.
Okay. I'll do mine first.
The audience can also participate, I suppose, if they want.
Mine's from the perspective of Tyson.
Okay.
Clarice is the one that won the race. Percy doesn't like her. She doesn't like him. But I like this ship. The engine is old and beautiful. The power and old technology is exciting to see. Sleeping with the sound of the engine was the best sleep I've had for a while. Besides that cruise ship, that one smelled, but the sounds were so nice. We're going somewhere scary, and I may not know a lot of things, but I know engines. And this one might have some kind of divine power, but it's not built for this. I can feel the engine struggle, and it will fail. We're being attacked by a whirlpool with teeth, and I must protect Percy. I can help.
There you go.
There you go.
Good job doing a Tyson voice.
Thanks. That was just my voice.
Yeah. No, I meant like in the writing sense, not the impression sense.
Okay. I was struggling because I didn't want to make him sound stupid.
Yeah.
But I also wanted to make him sound like a child.
Yeah.
So that was my goal.
Such a big overlap between those things.
Jeez. Wow.
Anyway.
That's why you're not the fun uncle. That's why you're just the uncle.
Yep. Anyway, so we'll move on to mine, and I did something a little different this time.
Did you know?
So anybody who knows me knows that I obviously love sea shanties. I have a soft spot in my heart for them. And we're on the Sea of Monsters. We're on a boat. I figured this is the perfect time.
For a shanty.
For a shanty. And so I basically rewrote an existing one. This is a shanty called A Drop of Nelson's Blood.
Okay.
Also known as Roll the Old Chariot Along. Dates back to the 19th century. And so I'll need your help with this one.
Okay.
If you'd like to sing it with me.
I don't sing, but I am warning everybody, I do not sing.
Yeah.
I don't know what a tone is.
But it's okay, because this is a shanty. It's for, like, sailing men who don't sing either.
Okay.
And this is a call-and-response type shanty. So basically, I, as the chanter, am going to say a line, and then we repeat that line two more times with the chorus, and then we'll move on to the next verse. There's, like, five verses in this original song. I've cut it down to three just for the sake of time and the fact that we're not great singers.
Okay. Appreciate that.
So, just follow my lead, but basically we're going to open on the line, oh, we'd be all right if the engine chugs along.
Okay.
And they're really going to say, we'd be all right if the engine chugs along, be all right. and basically you're just doing the repeating verses.
Okay.
For good? Ready?
I think so.
Okay.
audience, after this, I'm going to tell you exactly how many attempts it takes us to get this correct. Like, in the final edit, there's just going to be the one, but, you know. Just stick around for the bloopers at the end, and you'll see how many times we actually have to try this.
Yeah. So basically, we're doing it like... And,
I understand. Yeah, please start.
Okay.
Please don't explain it for the fourth time.
Oh, we'd be all right if the engine chugs along. We'd be all right if the engine chugs along. We'd be all right if the engine chugs along. And we'll all hang on behind. And we'll roll the old iron sides along. We'll roll the old iron sides along. We'll roll the old iron sides along. And we'll all hang on behind. We'd be all right if we made it past Charybdis. We'd be all right If we made it past Charybdis, we'd be alright. If we made it past Charybdis, and we'll all hang on behind. And we'll roll the old Ironsides along. We'll roll the old Ironsides along. We'll roll the old Ironsides along. Then we'll all hang on behind. We can stop there. Anyway.
I got to listen to that back and see, because you got very close to the mic.
Uh-huh.
And it is impressively loud. Okay. That it's all peaking. So I'm going to have to see if I can actually make that listenable.
Okay.
Or if we're going to need to do it again.
Okay. And then we can be done there. We don't need to do the third verse. They got the point.
Okay. What is the third verse?
Third verse is, oh, and a drop of ambrosia wouldn't do us any harm.
Okay.
So, anyway.
There you go. One attempt. I'm not doing it again.
Okay. Yeah, I do enjoy shanties, and that's actually one of my favorite ones. So.
Yeah.
I guess I could have written my own shanty for this, but I didn't want to spend that much time.
You could have written it.
Could have written it. But I got clonked on the head. Anyway, so that was fun. Thank you.
You're welcome.
For your help. Anywho.
Anywho. Well, I think that it's a good note to wrap things up on.
Yep.
Thank you so much for joining us today as we discussed Chapter 11 of The Sea of Monsters. Join us next time as we discuss Chapter 12. We check in to Cece's Spa and Resort. Who is Cece? Mm-hmm. And until next time, always bring a Cyclops along if you're going to blow up an engine.
I was going to say something very similar. Also, don't use too much wind.
Yeah, never. Never use too much wind. Duh.
You might get clonked in the head.
You might get clonked in the head. Bye.
Bye. Very powerful aura.
Yeah.
Aura.
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 Very powerful aura.
Aura. What is that? Anyway, that's all.
So. Sure, I'll go ahead and do mine first. So here are mine.
Told him where he was from.
Friggin' New Yorkers. Anyway. Yeah, that's my impression of a Confederate.
How can you protect me as your lady?
Yeah.
Are there two chess pieces stuck to the...
I don't know.
Did we throw away that set because it was missing pieces? Because I found them.
I don't think we threw away that one.
Okay.
So anyway.
As the saying goes.
How do we start this podcast, Kristen? Usually with you not burping directly into the microphone.
I put up a finger. You weren't looking at me. I gave you a warning that it was happening. You weren't paying attention.
Uh-huh.